thank everybody in the house today for coming back after our little two-week hiatus, and just glad to be able to be back. But also, thank you for those that are joining us online, as well as down at our Westside campus. They're going to be there as well. And before I get into the message, I just want to say we all need to remember, in light of the events that happened this last week, regardless of who it is or doesn't become president of the United States, Jesus Christ is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not going to be taken away from that position, and so we need to make sure we live with that hope. Well, I want to let you know that I really feel like I've got my work cut out for me today, and here's my challenge. To really try to convince you to do something that's really, really good for you, but may not be that appealing necessarily, depending on your circumstances. Last week, we started this new series, The Genius of Gratitude. And let me just say that I think opting for gratitude could sometimes be compared to choosing to eat your vegetables. It's definitely good for you as you know it, but it doesn't always taste very good. And I think I've shared with you many times before, we often would claim as we were raising our kids that our oldest son actually had a birth defect. And his birth defect was that instead of on his tongue, all his taste buds were in his eyes. Because he could actually look at food and he could tell what it tastes like. It had never even been in his mouth. Well, you know, beauty really is in the eye of the beholder. Gratitude always depends on the eye of the beholder. 2020 is a year that I think most of us will be more thankful that it's over than that it happened, that we're thankful for the year itself. And yet, I would say while 2020 has been a year that has caused a great deal of frustration, I think it could also be said to be kind of eye-opening for us, because it's revealed to us a number of things that we've probably taken for granted. We've just said they're always going to be there for us, and so we've taken them for granted. One of those we learned early on was what? Toilet paper. None of us were really worried about toilet paper ever before until it started and the shelves were emptied and people were starting to collect it. I don't know how much you collected, but all during this time, you know, there were memes going around. And I love this one that I found. It said, it was a quiet Monday morning in September 2053 when John woke up with a need to go to the bathroom. To John, this was just wasn't just an ordinary day. This was the day he would open the last package of toilet paper his parents bought back in the year 2020. And I guarantee you, I bet that's going to happen in some places with all that we were taking on. But we've learned not to take some things for granted. Like, how about just being able to go to work? Because a lot of people have had to work at home. Or how about our children actually being able to go to school? We don't take that for granted before, again. Or how about believers not taking for granted the fact that we can actually meet together every week or be together in small groups? At least for now, we're less likely to take those things for granted. I hope you know, if you've known me long enough, that I'm just kind of a simple guy. I like things simple. Complexity, too much of it can actually give me a headache. And that's why a number of years ago, when a book came out on leadership and the title was The One Thing You Need to Know, I immediately went out and bought that book, and it did have one very helpful insight. And then a while back, a TV doctor that I respected mentioned the benefits of taking a baby aspirin every day as the one thing that you could do to significantly increase the longevity of your life by avoiding a heart attack. And I said, hey, I think I could do that. Now, as soon as I say that, I got to offer that disclaimer. Folks, consult your physician before you begin an aspirin regimen. Don't do that just based on what I would say today. But what if there was just one thing? One thing that you could do to help you survive this crazy season of life. Folks, that's the genius of gratitude. If there would be one thing that you could do that would improve not only the quality of your life, but the depth of your faith, it would be to increase your level of gratitude, to increase it. And if you don't believe that for a moment, when you get home today, get on your computer or your smartphone and just Google gratitude. I did, and you'll see thousands of articles pop up and hundreds of book titles because the world has discovered that gratitude makes a huge difference. But you know, long before the world caught on to the transformational power of gratitude, God himself, because he created us, understood the benefit of the presence and the expression of gratitude in our lives. Now, last week, I so appreciated how Logan did an excellent job introducing this topic and also providing a context of the theme verse for this entire series. And I would just say, if you missed it, go back and catch it online, maybe even watch it again. Because how we saw how some very discouraged and defeated Christ followers in the first century, who were facing all kinds of challenges and difficulties, along with being persecuted because of their faith, Paul gave them this very specific instruction when he writes to the church in Thessalonica, and it's recorded for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, I don't know about what the people who received it initially thought about that, but I can imagine what some of us are thinking. We're thinking, Paul, are you sure about that? Give thanks in all circumstances. Certainly you aren't referring to a time like we're in now with COVID and everything, because Paul, there's been a lot of terrible things that have happened and that continue to happen. If you count the words, there's just 15 words in that verse, with one challenging imperative and two very important distinctives. See, the imperative is give thanks in all circumstances. And honestly, I think it could sound like almost an impossible practice were it not for those two distinctives. First of all, please note, as Logan did last week, he pointed out that Paul says give thanks in all circumstances, not necessarily for all circumstances. Now, you may not be grateful for where you find yourself, but in that, there's some things that you can be grateful about. Secondly, there's a lot of people over the years that I've discovered who are feeling kind of challenged trying to discern or find out what God's will is for my life. I wish I could know what God's will is for my life. Well, let me just share with you, there is one way that you can be absolutely certain that you are in the center of God's will. It's when you're giving thanks. Because it says this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, and it would not be God's will unless it was possible for you with his help. And all this is because God understands the power of gratitude in your life. It's genius. I really love how Max Lucado says it. He says it well. He says, if it came in a pill form, gratitude would be deemed a miracle cure. Now, folks, it's for a very good reason that God wants us to be intentional about giving thanks in all circumstances. And it's because if you don't choose gratitude, you're going to inevitably default to ingratitude. I mean, that's just where you're going to end up if you don't act on being grateful. Because in case you haven't noticed, gratitude doesn't come naturally. I mean, my parents, they had to work it into me when I was a kid growing up to be grateful. And you have to actually be intentional to choose gratitude. And we don't want to go to the other place, folks, because ingratitude is not good for the heart. It kind of messes us up. And it's not good for the heart because it literally has a tendency to put some distance between you and God. And we know this because the Apostle Paul, when he writes in Romans chapter 1, and he's discussing kind of the downward spiral of mankind, he identifies the absence of gratitude as one of the major factors. Here's what he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. He says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But then in their thinking, they became futile." And what does it say? "Their foolish hearts were darkened." It's bad for your heart. See, without intentional gratitude, if you're not intentional about it, gratitude diminishes, which means that gratitude is going to have to be continually replenished. I think that's what C.S. Lewis had in mind when he wrote, "Relying on God has to begin again every day, all over, as if nothing had yet been done." You might have been grateful yesterday. It doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be grateful today. So I want to give you three, what I would call benefits of choosing gratitude to try to help us get to the point where we choose gratitude even when we don't necessarily feel like it. Here are some of the benefits of choosing gratitude. Number one, gratitude keeps what you want from robbing you of what you have. It keeps what you want from robbing you of what you have. And we get robbed of what we have all the time because of what we want. You know, I'm guessing that most of us here today, living in 21st century America, have had at least one or two or three of these experiences. Maybe you've looked into your closet. Or even better, maybe you've walked into your closet. Because, you know, we have closets today that are bigger than some of the bedrooms that I saw in houses growing up. And maybe you've walked into this closet filled with clothes and you stood there and said, man, I got nothing to wear. A little bit discouraged, you walked down to the kitchen and you opened up a refrigerator full of food. And when you opened it up, you looked at it and you said, man, I got nothing to eat. I don't see anything I want to eat. And so, a little frustrated with that, you walk over to the living room and you sit down on the couch and you turn on the television and you scroll through 140 channels and what do you say? There's nothing to watch. You've all done that. And oftentimes, what we want robs us of what we have, and gratitude keeps us from taking things for granted by reminding us of what we have, whether it's much or whether it's little. Now, last series, when we were talking about anxiety, we spent a couple of weeks in Philippians chapter 4, because Paul talks about that. And Paul also there explains that he's actually discovered the secret to contentment in life. Here's what he says in Philippians 4:12. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. But on both sides, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, he goes on to say that he can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. But I, folks, really believe that Paul's secret to contentment is gratitude regardless of his circumstances. In fact, in 2 weeks, we're going to study through the whole book of Colossians and see how gratefulness is ingrained into Paul's life. Gratitude keeps what we have or what we want from robbing us from what we have. I just want to, before we move on, share just a quote from a guy by the name of Fred with a very long last name. And Fred said, none is more impoverished than the one who has no gratitude. Gratitude is a currency that we can mint for ourselves and spend without fear of bankruptcy. Well, there's another benefit of gratitude, and it is that gratitude keeps you from jumping to the wrong conclusions. If you're grateful in your heart, it's going to keep you from jumping to the wrong conclusions. Now, for me, from not being able to usually touch the rim of a basketball hoop or performing poorly in the long jump in track, I've never been very good at physical, literal jumping. But there is a kind of jumping that I seem to have mastered. And it's jumping to conclusions. Man, I can do it with the best of us. And every now and then, there are times when I actually jump to the right conclusion. But I'll just say more often than not, I found myself many times over jumping to the wrong conclusions. I'm pretty good at it. In fact, I think there's times when I could have potential to be a gold medalist in jumping to wrong conclusions. And see, the challenge is that anytime you and I aren't grateful, it can be easy to jump to the wrong conclusions. Because we jump to conclusions like, oh no, I think God's abandoned me. Or oh no, God's not going to be faithful to me when we're not grateful. Now, you know, the nation of Israel being freed from Egypt, I think could actually be considered a case study of ingratitude. Now, thanks to Cecil B. DeMille's and the Ten Commandments, that movie, most of us have at least kind of a visual idea of what that might have possibly looked like. And you'd think people that went through that, man, they would be as grateful as possible, right? Well, in Exodus 16, chapter 2, they're just a little ways away from that. And it says there, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Now, let me just say, folks, that anytime there's grumbling involved, it's not a good thing. And it's really a chance that there's also a lack of gratitude. Now, granted, they just happened to be making their way through a very unfriendly place. It says they were in the desert or in the wilderness. But can we think back for just a moment? These folks had just witnessed the power as well as the provision of God as never before. As he delivered them from bondage in Egypt through these 10 powerful plagues. And if that wasn't enough, it was followed up by this jaw-dropping deliverance through the Red Sea that then destroyed the pursuing Egyptian army. But it sure didn't take them very long after these life-altering, hopefully gratitude-generating events to discover, I think it was easier for God to get the Israelites out of Egypt than it was to get Egypt out of the Israelites. They were just struggling with that. And it was their lack of gratitude that I think caused them to jump to those wrong conclusions. Oh no, right here, now God has abandoned us, or God's not going to take care of us. And while it appeared that their grumbling was actually directed at Moses and Aaron, we know it was really directed towards God. And what we discover again is that grumbling is not good, because grumbling is usually an expression of both discontent and distrust of God. Now, I'd be the first to admit that the past few months have been a real challenging season for me, because I often feel frustrated and helpless. And I've grumbled and I've complained. And when I share that with you, I'm not saying that to you to try to gain any sympathy from you, because I know that for many of you, some of the circumstances you're going through are far more difficult than mine. But that doesn't mean that I haven't struggled personally feeling sorry for myself and grumbling about the situation. And let me just share, grumbling comes from ingratitude. And we got to remember, the opposite of gratitude is entitlement. Hey, I'm entitled. And if I was going to offer to you just a definition of entitlement, there are many I found, but I think this one kind of captured it. It says, the belief that one is inherently deserving of or has a right to privileges or special treatment. And so I want you to hear, the voice of entitlement says, I deserve. And so when you don't get what you think you deserve, it's easy to begin to grumble and feel sorry for yourself. A guy by the name of Dr. Steve Maraboli made a great statement. He says, a sense of entitlement is a cancerous thought process that is void of gratitude and can be deadly to our relationships. Well, gratitude says something completely different. You know what gratitude says is, I'm blessed. I am so blessed. And a guy by the name of Robert Brault, he writes, he says, I don't think you can feel a sense of entitlement and still be happy. Happiness always comes from feeling that you've been blessed. And so I just want to remind us all this morning, as we live through this crazy time of COVID, that we get each to decide how we're going to look at life. We each decide between one of two things. I'm owed or I'm awed. I'm owed or I'm awed. And whether it's, hey, life owes me or God owes me, you can choose to live with that kind of mentality if you want to, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be a miserable life if you're owed, because you're never going to get what you think you deserve. Or you could choose to be awed and maybe get up every morning and thank God for the gift of a new day, because you know what? None of us is owed even one day of life. Every day is a gift. That's why I love the statement made by Alphonse Karr. I mean, it's this whole thing of I'm just blessed. So some people grumble that roses have thorns. I'm so grateful that thorns have roses. I'm cared for. Folks, I want to tell you this morning about a woman who was part of one of the churches that I served back in Iowa. She literally is someone that I never, ever want to forget. Her name is Leona. And while she's since gone to be with the Lord, she experienced some of the most incredible heartache as well as physical pain of anybody that I've ever known. Now, fortunately, she grew up in a Christian home, so she learned to trust in God at an early age. She married a godly man. They had 3 children, 2 boys and 1 girl. Her husband was a fairly successful farmer who also had a passion for flying airplanes. And then tragically, on one of those flights with his wife and his daughter, there was a plane crash. And that left her husband and her then 12-year-old daughter dead. Leona somehow miraculously was able to survive, but barely, with 52 of the bones in her body broken. 52. Well, as you might imagine, her recovery was long and painful, both physically as well as emotionally. But with her faith anchored in Christ, she continued to trust God and give him thanks. And if she hadn't been through enough already, one of her two remaining sons actually got a call to full-time ministry and was attending Ozark Christian College in Joplin, Missouri, where Logan Justice and Kevin Whitmore, two of our pastors, also attended. And it just so happened that tragically, that son was also killed in a plane crash when he was flying home to be with his mom for Christmas. Now, those events took place years before I ever knew Leona. And so by the time I met her, she must have been in her 70s. And she wasn't able to get around very well by then and was pretty much homebound. And I would call her up from time to time and say, "Hey, Leona, when can I come and see you?" And we'd set a time. And there were a number of those times when she had to call me back and say, "Hey, I'm just in too much pain. We need to reschedule." But during those visits with Leona, the statements that I would remember her saying the most were these: "God has been so good to me. I am so blessed. I am so thankful." And she would say that as she walked with me into her living room with a walker, every step that she took painful for her. Now, if you heard her story, you would say if she had chosen to become a bitter, angry person, I don't think anyone would have blamed her to go through all of that. But instead of grumbling about her circumstances, she chose gratitude. And her gratitude obviously didn't change those circumstances, but it definitely changed her. So I want to just remind you this morning, that's what's going to make gratitude hard. Gratitude is not going to change your circumstances any more than being ungrateful does, but it clearly changes your perspective, which in turn changes your outlook, which in turn changes, transforms your entire demeanor. And you know what I saw happen? Because Leona chose to be grateful, she saw God everywhere. Everywhere she looked, she saw God. But anytime you aren't grateful, you're going to have a hard time seeing God anywhere. You know, on the night that Jesus was going to be falsely arrested, suffer extreme physical abuse, capped off with this brutal crucifixion, as he was preparing himself for that event, you know what he was doing? He was choosing gratitude. And we know that because as he gathered with that final meal for his disciples that we remember every week in communion, we hear about what happened at that meal. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 11 as Paul describes it. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he broke that bread recognizing that's what's going to happen to my body. And he says, "This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me." And you know, even though we know there were moments on the cross when he questioned God's presence during that ordeal, we also know that it ended up with him saying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." I mean, choosing gratitude keeps you from jumping to the wrong conclusions. There's a third reason to choose gratitude, but I would say in order for you to understand it, I need to tell you about a good friend of mine who is also a preacher who decided to coin his own word. And the word that he came up with was the word, are you ready? Probertunity. Probertunity. Now, you know, when you coin your own word, you get to come up with its own definition. And the definition is a probertunity is something that initially looks like a problem, but then turns into an opportunity. It turns out to be an opportunity. So let me just share with you, because that's what I did. I think I coined my own word. The third reason to choose gratitude is that a byproduct of gratitude is gladitude. Gratitude. You can tell your kids when you pick them up, hey, we learned a new word in church today. Now, since it's my word, I get to write the definition. The definition of gratitude is a feeling of joy and contentment that permeates a grateful heart. Folks, it is almost impossible to express gratitude without some joy surfacing in your perspective, which is why you can't be grateful without also being gladful. If you're full of gratefulness, you're going to be full of gladfulness. I think that's what Paul had in mind when he said in Colossians chapter 1, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. Now, having said that, grumbling is always going to be easier because it lets you off the hook and allows you to blame your circumstances for everything going wrong. But I'll guarantee you, the higher the level of gratitude, the lower the level of grumbling. So I just want to encourage you, and we're going to have lots of opportunity in the next few months. Next time you notice yourself beginning to grumble, rather than allowing a grumbling session, why don't you choose to engage in maybe some gratitude expression? Hey, God, here's the things I'm thankful for. And so let me see if I can wrap this up. I have some application for you for this message and for this week and for the next few days. Instead of maybe assessing each day based on the circumstances that are often outside of your control, what if you chose to evaluate each day based on something that is totally under your control, your level of gratitude? And you say, hey, if I was really grateful today, it was a good day. If I wasn't so grateful today, then it really wasn't a great day. And so here's my recommendation. For the next 30 days, I'd encourage you to conduct a daily gratitude review. A daily gratitude review, or a DGR. Every day, a DGR. Just take a couple of moments at the end of the day to determine what was your gratitude gradient. Was your expression of gratitude low? Was it medium or was it high? And the goal simply here is to raise the level of gratitude. And I've been working on it all week, and it's been a challenge, but it helps. And I'd want to say, don't be legalistic about it, and don't look at a success failure. Oh, I failed the day. Just see it as a means to an end. Some days are going to go better than others. You might even miss a day. Don't worry about it. Just start the next day. Because you know what? Gratitude really is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. The less you use it, the weaker it gets. Keep exercising it. And there will be times when gratitude is easy. Somebody does something nice for you that you didn't expect, and you're grateful for that. But there's also going to be times when expressing gratitude will feel like pulling teeth because you'd rather be grumbling than expressing gratitude. And as your level of gratitude goes up, you'll discover how quickly your level of gratitude goes down. Let me close with just one thought from a guy by the name of William Ward. And it's a statement that he makes, it's just some perspective. He says, God gave you a gift of 86,400 seconds today. Have you used one of them, just even one of them, or string a couple together to say to God, thank you? Let's pray. Father, we can hear it, we can see it, but sometimes living there is hard. Because this world is filled with so many things that are discouraging, disappointing, frustrating. It's hard to be grateful. And so I pray that you would help us to be able to open our eyes and see all the goodness that you have placed around us. The homes that we live in, the food that we eat, the cars that we drive, but even more importantly than that, the people who are next to us, whom we love, our family, our friends, our church. And while there's lots that we could grumble about, there's lots that we could be grateful for. God, if there's ever a time we needed gratitude to get us through, it would be now. So help us to do that so we never lose sight of your goodness, because it's there and all around us. Please open our eyes to see it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.